We think about Joseph's life up to this point. Joseph, as the 11th son of 12, and they had a sister too, and he grew up in a home where he was favored and loved, and I'm sure all the children were loved in a unique way. But Joseph had this coat of many colors, and his brothers were jealous of him. And we know that when he was growing up, he was given some dreams by the Lord, and the Lord told him that his brothers would bow down and come to him one day, and his mom and dad as well. And so he told that dream to his brothers, and he told that dream to his family. And of course, they didn't really care for the dream. Matter of fact, the Bible said that his brothers hated him because of his dream, and they conspired against him. You know the story, how they were grazing their flocks, and he went to go and see them, and they said, "Behold, this dreamer cometh." And they were jealous of him. They hated him. And they decided that they were going to kill him, first of all. Then they changed their mind, and they were convinced to sell him. And so they sold him to some Ishmaelites, and they brought him down to Egypt. First, they cast him into a pit, and then they sold him as a piece of property. And he was sold into Potiphar's house, and eventually went to prison wrongly. And then finally, We'll pick up the story here in just a minute. Finally, God uses him in a miraculous way to even save his brothers' lives and to save probably that whole part of the world from starving with famine. Now, in this credible story of Joseph, we find that during the famine where we just read, during the famine, Joseph and Pharaoh are prospering. Now, when we get to this point, Joseph is second in charge in the land of Egypt. Only Pharaoh is more powerful, the king, than Joseph. And Joseph found himself in prison, being wrongly lied about by Potiphar's wife and thrown into prison. And he has a dream. He interprets dreams in prison for the butler and for the baker. And those dreams come true. The baker loses his life. The butler is given his job back. And Joseph said, When you get back and you get your job back, remember me. And the Bible says the butler forgot. And for 2 years, Joseph was in that prison. For 2 years, he probably wondered, you know, he's almost 30 years old now. And he's getting to the point where it's been 13 years of all this just up and down. And why is this happening to me? A lot of things must have gone through his mind. And Pharaoh has two dreams. In his first dream, he's by the river. And the Bible says that seven fat kine came out of the water. Here are cattle, and they were very healthy and very well to do. And they come out of the river, and the Bible says that seven ill-favored kine came up, scrawny and emaciated cattle. And then the seven ill-favored ones ate up the seven fat ones. And so it must have been I don't know if that's a scary dream or what it is. And he's thinking, wow, these cows are eating each other. The skinny ones ate up the fat ones. And then they look just as skinny as they did before. And so he wakes up. He's thinking about that. He goes back to sleep the same night. And he says, "I had a dream. There were seven stalks of corn on an ear. Seven stalks were growing, and they were healthy and they were fat. And then seven more came up. They were blasted, and the blasted ones ate up the fat ones, and they just looked just as blasted as they did before." And he got all his magicians together. He says, "Hey, tell me what this dream means." And nobody can tell him what the dream means. And finally, the butler says, "Oh wow," he said, "I forgot. It's been 2 years, but there's a guy in prison, and he can interpret dreams. And let me tell you what he did." So he tells them a little bit. "Hey, go get him." So they say, "Joseph, you got to come up and see the king." And so Joseph shaves and he puts on fresh clothes. And God even blessed him in the prison while he was there. He's running the place. But here he comes up out of the prison. And Pharaoh is talking to him about his dreams. And he said, "Oh, this is God gave me the answer to your dreams." He says, "There are going to be 7 years of plenty like you've never seen before. It's just going to be a prospering time, and everything's going to grow, and everything's going to be good in Egypt." And then he says, "There are going to be 7 years of famine, and there's going to be nothing to eat. Nothing's going to grow. There's going to be a big problem, and people are going to starve. And so what we need to do is you need to gather all of the crops that you can during the 7 years of plenty, and then put 20% aside, a fifth, put 20% aside. And then when the famine comes, we're going to be able to feed our people. We're going to be able to feed even other people that come." And so Pharaoh is thinking, well, who could be better to be in charge of all of this gathering the food and feeding the world than Joseph, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. And so Joseph is given the second command in Egypt. He's given a name. He's given a wife. He's given a position. He's given a ring of Pharaoh. And so an incredible story. But this is more than just a story. We look at it and we understand, okay, this happened. This is in the Bible. This is a real person. And God is teaching us principles. Can I say this? Lean years come to every one of us. Lean years come to every one of us. Afflictions, problems. Evil years come. The Bible talks about evil years. Satan comes to drive a wedge sometimes between a husband and wife. Satan comes sometimes and drives a wedge between parents and children. Satan comes sometimes and drives a wedge between church members and pastors. The will of God magnetizes adversity to you. Okay, just settle it down. If you're going to do the will of God, what an incredible story about that missionary, Alexander McKay. Incredible story. I mean, we don't even know his name. I mean, we've heard his name maybe, but we know, we know Michael Jordan. But I mean, that guy right there, talk about a Christian. Wow. Every one of those things, he had every one of those character traits. And those 14 years that he suffered, I bet he's enjoying heaven now. Wow, it's worth it. And when you do the will of God, adversity is going to be magnetized to you. So don't be surprised. Don't be surprised when you're living for God and everything in the world just happens in your life. And every kind of problem is your normal everyday appetite that you get to consume every day because adversity comes. Satan is frightened about what you would do if you could do what you should do. Satan's frightened. So what does he try to do? He tries to knock you off your stability. He tries to knock you off of your consistency. Satan is frightened about what you would do if you could do what you should do. You will have more than one bad day. In life, you will have more than 7 bad years. There will be a time when all hell has broken loose on you, an assault from hell. We studied in our adult Sunday school class this morning, Job. I mean, you know the story of Job. Everything was going good for Job. And God bragged on Job. Hast thou considered my servant Job? God is in heaven and Satan appears with the sons of God. And Satan came also among them. There's always going to be a rat in the woodpile. When you're busy doing something good, the devil's going to be busy trying to undermine it and trying to destroy it and trying to knock you off balance to get you to stop doing that. What did Job do? He continued. Ministries are destroyed. Marriages get destroyed. Children have their lives ruined. Believe it or not, into Christian homes, drugs come, alcohol comes, pornography comes, immorality comes. Problems are going to come into your family and into your home. Now, Pharaoh, think about Pharaoh. Pharaoh didn't even worship God. Pharaoh worshiped idols and false gods. Yet, when the lean years came, Pharaoh prospered. Joseph prospered. Joseph loved the Lord. And because of his association with Pharaoh, Pharaoh also prospered. We find it here. They were doing really well when the problems came. Some folks have seen evil days come. You ever, maybe in your life or somebody else's life, it seems like a switch got thrown. It's like, what happened? Everything was normal. Everything was going along fine. And all of a sudden, a switch came. Children go off into a bizarre lifestyle sometimes. They attack and they grow hostile toward you. I know some good families and they've had just a tragic time with different things in their life. And people just going off the rails and you're wondering what happened. Famine years come. You know, sometimes kids grow up and you forget about the sweet little 5-year-old and you forget about that sweet little innocent, child that what happened to that child? Where did that child go? You forget the nice attitude. You forget the I love yous. And you get to the point where you're thinking, what happened? The lean years are here. We have to learn how to prosper during the famine years, during the lean years. The Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that's not only during the 7 years of plenty, that's also during the 7 years of famine. I don't want to live like a prisoner. Sometimes families get turned upside down. Circumstances change. We must prepare for the lean times. Lean times come. You know, Christianity is more than blue skies and sunshine. Think about the people that you know in the Bible. 95% of the Bible is success in the lean years. I mean, just pick the person in the Bible. They went through great affliction. They went through trials and tribulations. My favorite Bible character outside the Lord Jesus Christ is Paul. Paul. And look, you know, beatings, fastings, shipwreck, prison, right? We look at Paul and go, wow, what a superhero. But it was because of those things, not a lack of those things. A hero is somebody who succeeds while struggling with the same problems that you and I use as excuses. Abraham did not stagger at the promises of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 20, he staggered not at the promises of God, promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, I wonder if that strong faith was a glory to God. God got glorified through Abraham's life. How do you succeed during the lean years? Let me give you several points. How do you succeed during the lean years? Number one, learn from the lesser adversities. Learn from the lesser adversities. Now, as you read this chapter, in chapter 47, the lean years were here. And during chapter 47, as Joseph went through these seven lean years, we read it, he eventually gained every cow, every sheep, every piece of property, and every person during the lean years. Everyone. He owned everything in Egypt. And he owned it during the lean years, not during the plentiful years. When he was 17 years old, one day he had that dream. And he said, I had a dream that we were binding sheaves. And I had my sheaf here and all of your sheaves roll around. And your sheaves bowed and did obeisance to my sheaf. He said, I had another dream. The sun and the moon and 11 stars bowed to me. And what did they do? They hated him. But what did he do? He learned during the lesser adversity to have a good attitude, to stand and do what's right. He never spoke bad of his family. You can go through the Bible. You can look at the life of Joseph. Never one time did he speak bad of his family. Well, I would have. Like, what do you, you want to know? I get the dirt on all my brothers, right? No, that's why I didn't have any brothers. I don't know. But he never spoke bad of his family. Not one time. You see, we go through lesser adversity. That's what going to school is all about. And you go to school and you get bullied. You know what? God's trying to prepare you for being an adult. He's toughening you up when you're a kid. You go to school, you get picked on, and or you don't make the team. You know what? That's a lesser adversity. God's trying to get you ready for life. You've got to get through the little adversities. Little adversities prepare us to handle big adversities. What if Joseph hadn't handled things properly with his brothers? Hey, Joseph, 7 lean years are coming. There's not going to be anything to eat. But if you can't handle the little adversities, you're never going to handle the big adversities. Because you've got a big responsibility to feed the world. He was sold by his brothers to the Ishmaelites. He was sold as a piece of property. What did he do? He prospered. He prospered in Potiphar's house. He prospered in the prison. He prospered everywhere he went. I think prosperity has more to do with your attitude than your circumstances. He was bought. He was lied about by Potiphar's wife. He was wrongly put in jail. Joseph could have indulged in lust and pride. Don't let your adversity be wasted. You know, we can learn a lot of lessons from failure. Failure can be a great teacher. Number two, what do we do to prosper in the lean years? Learn from the lesser adversities. Number two, be your strongest when you are at your weakest. When you're tired, when you're attacked, when you're ill, when you're vulnerable, when you're weak, and when you're persecuted, You should radiate Christianity from every pore of your body. When you're weakest, rise to the occasion. When you are weakest, be the best Christian. If God be for us, who can be against us? The joy of the Lord is our strength. What do we do? When you're tired, go forward. When you're weary, go forward. Hey, when we're broke, we should still give. Be the best Christian. Be the strongest when you're weakest. What does that do? That makes God happy. God has joy when you are strong in your weakness. My pastor said this one day. You are as good of a Christian as you are on your worst day. That's a profound thought. You are as good of a Christian as you are on your worst day. Well, anybody can shine on a good day. But when the bad day comes, what is your Christianity like? Raise your valleys. When you're empty, financially, emotionally, and physically. You know, there's a certain pride that God gets when you don't buckle under adversity. What do you think God thought about Job? when Satan came and he said, hey, if you'll let me take away all of his things, he'll curse you. Satan came back and that didn't happen. Hey, hast thou considered my servant Job? He said, look, you gave him everything in your arsenal and he's still standing. Wow, what a blessing that was to God. And Satan said, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Hey, let me unload on his health. Let me destroy him physically. And God said, okay, you can do everything, but you can't take his life. And yet he still stood, didn't he? There's a certain pride that God takes when you don't buckle under adversity. We have nothing. You know, I said in Sunday school this morning, people say sometimes, I'm going through the trials of Job. And I say, really, did you lose 10 children in one day? Really? Has all your wealth been taken from you? Do you have boils from head to toe? Are you sitting in the embers of the city dump? Has your wife told you to curse God and die? Have your friends sat and criticized you and told you that you're a hypocrite? Has Satan taken everything in your life? Have you gone from the richest person in the world to the poorest person in the world in one fell swoop? Oh, no, well, I'm going through the trials of Job. You don't know anything about the trials of Job. How do you prosper in the lean years? Give more when things are going well. You read the story of Pharaoh and they collected a fifth, 20%. When things were going well during the good years, Pharaoh was advised to go 20% over. Pharaoh gave back seed to the people of the land of Egypt who needed it. He gave back to those in need what he had saved earlier. Go the extra mile when things are going well. I read a statistic. 9 out of 10 of the businesses fail in their first year, a new business. A little interesting thing. Kmart declared bankruptcy the same year that Walmart declared to be the number one business in the world. You ever go into Kmart, you find out why they went out of business, right? Red light special. Yeah, you need a red light special. We need to put the fire engine in here and hose the whole place down, right? And like, help, I need help. There's nobody around, right? And the same year, one lost everything and one became number one the same year. What do you do? Give more when things are going well. Here's a good thought. Be sure you have your devotions on the nicest day of the year. You know, it's easy to look to God when you need help. And it's easy to forget about God when things are going well. Be sure to read your Bible and walk with God on the nicest day of the year. Need God when you don't think you need God. Need God and let Him know. God, I just wanted to let you know I need you. Why? What's the problem? There's no problem. Oh, there's no problem. Why are you talking to me? Most people only talk to me when they have a problem, right? No, I don't need you right now. Well, I don't want to say that, but it's not that I need you right now. It's that I just wanted you to know that I do need you. I don't have an emergency. This is just this is not a 911 call. This is just, be careful, all right? This is, pocket dial, right? This is just a conversation. I just want to, I'll let you know that I appreciate you. Need God when you don't think you need God and let Him know. Don't just need God in the crisis. Many people just find God in the crisis. The lean years. And they spend most of their time just getting reacquainted with God. Wouldn't it be good if when the lean years came, we didn't have to get reacquainted with God because we've been walking with Him through the fat years? We've been walking with Him through the plenteous years? Look, I think lean years are coming. I think they are. But we need to say, you know what? I'm going to find God and I'm going to stay with God. I'm going to walk with God. And when the lean years come, I'm not going to have to go find Him. God, where are you? Where we haven't talked for a long time. It's been a vacuum in my life. The Christian who acts in the good times, like he's going through the lean times, when the lean times come, he's going to rise to the top. Joseph rose to the top during the lean years, took Pharaoh with him. Enough of this foxhole Christianity. Number three, give more when things are going well. Number four, the lean years destroy the weak. There were people who came and they didn't have anything. But those who prosper are the ones who are already going the extra mile when things were going well. Joseph said, we're going to store 20% of the grain when things are going well. There were others who didn't prepare. The lean years destroy the weak. Next, live on the lean year income. Save up the fat years. You know, if we get our lifestyle adjusted to maybe the prosperity that we're going through, when the lean years come, we're not going to be able to sustain that. Live on modest appetites. Live on simple tastes. Have ordinary days. Just because, you know, things are going well doesn't mean you have to blow everything and waste everything and live like you're rich. Live on the lean years income. If I can rejoice with the wife of my youth, I can be happy. Enjoy what you have now. Be content. Be content with what you have. Don't be always, you know, the person who has the thing that we really want, they're looking for the next thing. They want something else. The contentment is a discontentment, and contentment are a state of mind. Don't have to have more than you have now. Live on the lean years income. Save up the fat years. Number next, don't fear the lean years. They came to Joseph and they were scared. They said, Joseph, we've given you everything we have. All that's left is our land and our lives. Don't fear the lean years. Joseph wasn't afraid. We ate up the fat years. Don't panic. You know, every marriage is going to be tested. I know we all have a theory before we get married, right? And then that marriage gets tested. And we think, oh, what happened? Life happened. Don't panic. Believers go through the refiner's fire. I thought if I was living for God, I'd never have a problem. Well, that's... Nope, I don't see that in there. Every faith is tested. Learn how to view the lean years as a great opportunity. You know, when we go through troubles and trials and adversity come in our lives, this is what we ought to say. When problems come, you ought to look that problem right in the eye and say, I've been waiting for you to come. I'm looking forward to what God's going to teach me through all this. I've been waiting for you. I need you. I need my problem to teach me how to succeed. So when a bigger lean year comes, I can conquer it. During the lean years, you will find that God works wonders. God worked wonders in Joseph's life. God gave Joseph opportunities. Joseph went through 13 years where he didn't know what's going on. Which way is up? Why did this happen to me? But Joseph was faithful. You know, Joseph is one of the very few people in the Bible you don't find anything negative ever said about Joseph. Nothing. Daniel would be another one. Jesus is perfect. Okay? But everybody else, we find there's different things. You know, they had their ups, they had their downs. Joseph, he found that God worked wonders in the lean years. You can learn to prosper in the lean years. Just a thought tonight. Prosper in your problems.